This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, our favorite part of the show, the Rex Ryan Report. It's brought to you by Bud Light, and Rex joins us right now. So let's begin, Coach, with the local teams as we try to avoid doing that, but we can't help it because it seems to be a lot of news coming out of both teams. I will start with the positive. I'll let Bart go to the other side of things, but I need to ask you, Ron Rivera going for two. So the Giants are pretty much, they get the win based on Rivera going for two. Do you like that move on the road, or do you question it?
Yeah, I mean, Riverboat Ron. This is the same guy got a reputation for being Riverboat Ron, and he just found out that if you don't have Cam Newton, Riverboat Ron doesn't work very well. And the other thing is, Riverboat Ron is the same guy that punted when they were down three scores with 9 minutes left to go in a game. He punted on a fourth down at midfield. He punted when he was down two touchdowns with like 5 minutes left. So Riverboat Ron's got to make up his mind. Are you going to gamble? Are you not? Whatever. I mean, give me a break. The football team is horrendous. That team is absolutely horrendous. But Ron Rivera, let's face it, he had the worst team in the league last year, one of them. Maybe they're the second worst team in the league in Carolina. So this is no different. But I love the fact, hey, the Giants, you won a game, and they're one game out of first. which is absolutely crazy, because I was going to look at it from the other end like, what in the hell are you doing winning that football game? You realize you got Trevor Lawrence sitting out there and you got a chance at him. Don't you have to go for him? You know, but I know the competition is fierce for that pick, but you got to lose, dude. Like, this is a once in every 20-year player, so... they won the game, but they lost in the big picture of things.
Yeah, how we said, like, you won the battle, but you lost the war, right? So it's
exactly.
looking like Minnesota's trying to get in that sweepstakes. You know, I'm happy that we didn't spend all that money on Kirk Cousins and he did shun us, because you look at what happened. You know, it's an opportunity. You know, for them. You know, that could have been us. It could have been us stuck with the Kirk Cousins contract and trying to figure things out. Like, we're bad, but you know they're bad with a quarterback, and they've invested a lot. You know, you think about the kid Jefferson, you think about all the weapons that he has out there, and the fact that they put that type of performance up. You know, I think they did as a blessing in disguise, but you know, they're on the radar. They're on the radar because I think they can start strategically starting to tank for Trevor Lawrence as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad move. And then look, we've seen with Zimmer, he's good 1 year, not so good the next year. Good a year, not so much. So it kind of fluctuates, you know. He's always been up and down. And the play of Kirk Cousins is no different than that. But nobody should have ever considered Kirk Cousins a franchise quarterback.
Hmm. It's incredible now looking back and seeing that contract and also the impact it had on different franchises, Washington, Minnesota, and, of course, the Jets. And that's where we'll go next, obviously, Rex. I want to add, there's so many places to go here with the Jets and where they are now at 0-6, the only team now left that's winless. You talk about the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. They're the lead dog right now. But what happened before the game going in, and I'm sure you saw this, Greg Williams saying what he said on Friday about how it's really not all the defense. It seems like he's trying to distance himself a little bit from Adam Gase and what's happening with the offense and with this team. What do you read out of that situation?
Yeah, I read what it should be, that he's not a team player, and he'd be the first guy you fire. And then you're going to fire Adam Gase, but if I was Adam Gase, I'd fire him in a New York minute. Right now, I'd fire him. He's not any good anyway. He's living off a reputation. He had one decent year. He has one every 4 or 5 years as a coordinator. So to me, I'd get rid of him. And they're going to play out the string, because he's probably forced on Gase when he got the job. So he probably won't make that decision. But this guy, I mean, how in the hell? You realize you worked for the head coach. All right, and to me, you got to understand there's a hierarchy, regardless of how incompetent the head coach is.
Now, you talk about that, but, you know, it's one of those things, like, he wasn't lying, right? Because I think he wanted to make sure that he can defend his reputation, saying, you know, I understand that, you know, the defense isn't playing well, but, you know, some of those points, and we've been part of that for a little bit, you know, some of those points when you talk about, you know, scoring defense and you talk about interceptions for pick sixes and things of that sort, you know, you talk about yesterday the Jets were, I believe, like, two or three for 17 on third down. We always talked about three and outs being a bit of a turnover, flips the field. You know, so he was just trying to, I think he was trying to, listen, it's definitely wrong, but he wasn't lying about, you know, some of the facts about why the defensive numbers are down where they are.
No, but he's not lying. he's definitely not lying. We get it, but you don't have to say it. We all know it. You don't have to say it. And to me, it just showed that, like, if you're a new head coach coming in, you're going to keep this guy? Hell no.
You're not keeping this guy. But this is the crazy thing, Rex, right? So, like, the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. We talked about Adam Gase and his, you know, and his disappointment in Le'Veon Bell for talking to the coaches through the media. But when you reveal that to the production staff on CBS, aren't you doing the same exact thing that you told Le'Veon Bell not to do?
That's a great point. I just think he was so ticked off. Like, he's supposed to be the leader of this team. And we get it. He's leading this franchise right down to the bottom. But that's okay, because this team's going to go to the bottom and they're going to come back. And that's what we all want to believe as Jet fans, that it can be resurrected. It can. But it's, you know, Joe Douglas is a good man. Joe Douglas, I've known him for 20 years. Bart, you and I both go back with Joe Douglas. In a way, if you're Joe Douglas, you might want the first pick anyway.
Right.
Because you know you got once-in-a-lifetime player, you know, sitting there for you to draft. And that's a pretty good start if you're going to build a franchise that way. But if you're – and right now, the Jet fans, and no bigger Jet fans than Bart Scott, myself, and a million others, nobody wants to see this team win a game now. You've already blown the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Better not win a game now.
I hate feeling that way, but it's hard not to believe that. And if
they're shipping off pieces, Rex. Shipping off pieces.
Yeah, McClendon gone now as well.
Yeah, I saw McClendon going, but when I heard somebody said they traded a defensive tackle, I'm like, oh, shoot, don't trade Williams.
He actually grades very well.
He's actually figuring it out. And Avery Williams, if I was Avery Williams, I'd be knocking on the door like, hey, Pittsburgh got somebody hurt.
Nobody save me.
Y'all don't need me.
Yeah, I volunteer. Y'all like Blake Cashman? Hey, Blake Cashman, here you go, buddy. Here you go. It's been great knowing you. Just send me to Pittsburgh. I'm out.
Man, what is going on?
Because Avery Williamson actually flashed. And you can tell that he's still playing hard.
He's a good player.
He's been in the doghouse, right? They've been trying not to play him. You know, he wouldn't be there if it wasn't for C.J. Mosley. He would have been a cap casualty. So I'm saying, hey, man, listen, if I'm a veteran and you want to go and evaluate your young guys, what I disagree with is the fact that Frank Gore is your starting running back. I mean, what the hell are we doing? Like, next year he's going to be – listen.
They don't even run the ball.
He played with Moses, man. I don't want to see him. I know what the hell he is.
Frank Gore played when I played. So, you know, that's
– He played with Sam Huff.
Frank Gore, but my goodness, you're right.
It's like, can we see P. Ryan? Like, I want to see this young kid play into his tongue. I want to see his tongue hanging out his mouth. I want to see him 30, 40 carries, see what he can handle, what he can't handle. Right? Let's see if he's Sean Green, if he can turn it on in the second half and learn how to run downhill behind his pads. And, he may get blowed up, but you're going to find out about his character. This is what I want to see. I don't want to see Frank Gore in the backfield first, second down. Okay, third down, so he can help with protection, maybe leak out some screen passes. Okay, but listen, I know what Frank Gore is, and it's been a hell of a career. And his durability, his greatest ability, and he's going to maybe have an opportunity at the Hall of Fame. But I don't need to see Frank Gore back there, man. I don't need to see Frank Gore getting his helmet knocked off. I don't need to see the pack of hot dogs on the back of his neck. Listen, I don't understand. I don't need to see none of that, man.
No, I'm with you, Bart. It's time to go into the developing stage. And the bad thing is, these coaches, like, let's face it, these coaches know they're fighting for their lives, but they ain't. I mean, they're done. They're already done. They had an opportunity. They failed. But now I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Douglas goes back and says, hey, look, man, you can still be the head coach. But you're gonna have to play these young guys. We're looking to develop these guys. And if you don't like the job that way, we'll hire an interim guy, John Jefferson or whoever the heck, and just say, no, if you want the job, you're going to develop people. That's where it is. That's where it is, unfortunately. But if you get shut out by the Miami Dolphins,
this
and you're 0-6 right now, I'm sorry, but we want to see young players. Bart hits it on the head. You want to see young players and see this team possibly develop and then see what you have in the end. And you know you're going to have to build this team and do it the correct way. And with people that are locked in step together, and that's how you're going to build this team.
I mean, I think that, you know, you think about Adam Gase, you know, choosing Joe Douglas, and you thought that was supposed to be a match made of heaven, but Joe Douglas didn't choose Adam Gase. So he's not tied to anybody. And I understand, you know, friendships, you know, happen, but this is business, man. And at the end of the day,
this goes
on my permanent right there. Listen, he's going to become a meme.
I'm
so happy he didn't look up, because you know what social media would do to him. They would put the Jordan crying face on Joe Douglas' big head. You know what I'm saying? And nobody wants that one. You know what I'm saying? We saw him put the Jordan face, crying face on the fly that was on Mike Pence's head. You know what I'm saying? And then they made a whole Twitter page about him. And the Pence fly Jordan face got 200,000 followers. We don't need that type of stuff for Joe Douglas, man. But he can't hide it, man. The camera's always watching. And it's like, he's like, man, I can't believe this, man. Like, this is – you out there saying, this is the Miami Dolphins. When did we become the creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneers? When did we become the Aints? When did we become the 1990 Arizona Cardinals? When did we, like, it's like so crazy how quickly this happened.
Hey,
remember
your home team, Detroit Lions,
yes,
when they were
right.
over.
Yep. When did it become the Dan Orlovsky Detroit Lions? Like, now we got butt
knees,
but even
you're
on
right.
Big
that was a bad football team. You're right.
Listen, I love Dan Orlovsky, man, but I came in the league and I left the league and I never knew he existed. I swear.
We all know him for stepping out of the bag of the end zone.
And that's the only that I was like, oh, that guy. That's because I'm a Lions fan. Before that, I never had heard of Dan Orlovsky. I thought that was some type of German sausage.
Let me ask you this, Rex. Can we at least, as Jets fans, take solace in the fact that the Patriots have a losing record at the 6 weeks into the season?
Well,
is there anything to be read from that?
That's what's so mind-boggling about this. Look, we knew this is not going to be – none of these teams were going to be 500 team. Like, Miami's not going to be a 500 team. And going into the season, you knew darn well New England wouldn't either. So this was an opportunity. This year was an opportunity that, hey, we can surprise some people. I literally thought they could surprise people. But, man, oh, man, am I disappointed with this group. And it's just, you know, and yes, it rightfully starts with the head coach.
I'm disappointed.
And it really does, you know. And we all get it. It just, but he was never a match here. He was never a match for New York.
Yeah.
Man, you know what?
His
I'm disappointed in the effort, Rex. That's what disappoints me the most. I mean, listen, you can be bad, man, but I swear I'll be out there scraping people up. I'll be like, yup, you ain't going to the playoffs neither. Nope, you ain't going. Listen, your season's about to be horrible because I'm about to knock you out. I'll be like, when is somebody just going to take it personal and say, you know what, I'm about to be Sammy Salsa out here knocking people out? Like, I don't get it. Like, it's one thing to lose. I'm not going to put that stank on my face. I want the team that plays me after they finish playing. I was like, man, that team sucked, man. But Bart, that Bart Scott play hard, man. That boy was scraping people out. He don't deserve to be on that team. He deserved better than that. And I don't see anybody stepping up to say, you know what? I don't see anybody. Everybody on the film kind of looks the same. Everybody on the film kind of moves at the same speed. Nobody's, like, popping out of their skin and saying, you know what? I'm going to play at a different speed, a different tempo, because no matter what, it still means something important to me. And ain't nobody going to be saying that I'm a screw up.
I think what happens when you got such a dislike for your coach, sometimes it's hard. It really is. And I think that's kind of what I see. And I was half jokingly about how, look, all the Miami guys are going to be revved up because they don't like Adam Gase, the guys that were there when he was there. But unfortunately, neither do the Jets. And that's what it kind of looks like.
I agree.
And so these guys, unfortunately, are like, they are playing with that kind of mentality. And you're right, Bart. Look, well, I don't care how bad it would be. I'd be sitting there as a football coach. I always used to tell everybody, well, judge me for, you know, guys, you want to see what I think about this game? Watch how I coach. Start with me. Like, I'm going to coach my absolute butt off. And they're going to know they're prepared, and they're going to see me with the energy and the passion that I have. It starts from that head man. And if he doesn't have that passion, you know, we know he's rich as you know what. Remember that comment? Well, that went, you know, that's just wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
And the crazy thing is the Miami Dolphins were in the same exact position last year. But one thing you can say is, like, man, this group played hard. Man, you see how this team compete? We thought they were tanking for Tua. They ended up getting Tua anyway. But they were playing hard, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's supposed to look a certain way. You don't cheat the game that way. And when you see teams playing that way, you just see that they're defeated. And like you said, they don't play, and it's impossible for the coaches to get them inspired to play. Because, like, they should come out and at least have more fight in them than that. And I think that guys are just giving up. And this is what happens. Unfortunately, this is the bad thing that happens when you have a lot of guys on a one-year contract. See, when you're winning and you're in the middle of it, people on one-year contracts play for another contract. I think guys are playing not to get hurt, and they don't want to make sure that they can hit the free agent market and have another opportunity with another team, because I think if all things are equal, they don't even want to be on this team next year.
Yeah, and you know what I compare it to, and Bart, we've seen this, is like when a team goes into like the last week of the season and they're done. They know they're done, and they don't want to get hurt or whatever. But unfortunately, this is week six.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the same kind of deal. So it's just, you know, and we go back, and us being, you know, Jet fans, we remember the Rich Kotite years. And you know, but we saw Bill Parcells flip it, you know, and that's what's got to be the encouraging thing. And here's the best part about it. Is if they, let's say they do get the first pick, because you guys remember I said there's no way in hell. Well, now I look at it, maybe there is a chance that they're going to end up with the first pick. But if they get it, they can build a franchise around that kid. Like, that's going to be unbelievable. And it's something they were saying that they were going to do with Sam Darnold. It just never happened.
All right, before we let you go, let's go around the league a little bit, because there's other interesting headlines to talk about. And one of them that I want to ask you is this one. And I know it's a setup, and you know it's a setup, but let's do it anyway. Browns-Steelers. Did it say more about what the Steelers are this year in the league, or does it say a lot more about what the Browns really are in this year?
Well, the Browns have lost two games this year. I mean, they got smoked by the Ravens and the Steelers. And if they don't win the physical battle, the Browns are in trouble. You know, Baker Mayfield's not a pocket quarterback. He's the 31st rated quarterback in the pocket. And for everybody that doubted what I said about him, it's rung true. But I said it draft day. You know, and people can jump on him now and say it. Well, I said it draft day. When everybody was saying he was the next Drew Brees, I'm like, he's not even close. Put Drew Brees on the Cleveland Browns, see what their record would be right now with those weapons. They put everything around this kid. So it's an epic failure if he doesn't produce. Stefanski's been smart. They've been running the football, moving the pocket for Baker. That's when he can be efficient. But if you put him sitting back in the pocket, shame on you.
Yep, but that's what happens when you have two outstanding defensive ends that's going to set those edges that force them to stay in that pocket, because if you put them on the move, you're running him essentially into their best playmakers in Dupree and T.J. Watt. I want to go to the Green Bay Packers, man, because, listen, we love Mike Pettine. You know, he's a friend, you know, right? But, listen, until he decides to get some guys in there that can stop the run, I don't care what he has on the outside, what he has on the back end, he doesn't have linebackers of impact in that middle that can send a message. And when they can't stop the run, they'll win a lot of games. But when it comes to play the better teams, they're just going to get ran all over. And they, you can't win that way.
Yeah, they're soft as Charmin. And I remember he was bragging about they only run like 20 plays a game, or, you know, 20 to 25 snaps. That's their game plan on defense. Well, when you tinker with the system, you don't run the system. And that's what I see here. I don't recognize that defense. That's supposed to be what we used to. That ain't close. So he needs to buckle up too and say, "Hey, man, it's time to, like, you need to start dictating to the offense, not the other way." And I see them all. You know, they're always playing. Well, we got a great offense,
right?
That, you know, and that's how they're playing. They are soft. That defense is absolutely soft. And it drives me crazy, because I got Pettine there, I got Mike Smith there, and it drives me crazy that they ought to know better. And if they don't, they're going to get run. They'll get run out in the first round.
Yeah, because they have all the weapons you would need, you know, theoretically. But you'll understand that defense, that system that you put together, has always been centered around tough linebacker play in the middle, and I just don't see that from them. And you can have all those pretty weapons on the outside, but if you can't get into third and seven, it's nothing that you can do. You can't dictate, and you can't cut these guys loose on the back end.
Yeah, you're going to have to be creative in your run defense. You're going to have to start blitzing safeties, and that's what you have to do. You don't just take an ass whipping, because right now they're taking it.
All right, we've got another Monday doubleheader, and this one actually an earlier start, too. So, quickly on both games, first and foremost, Chiefs at Buffalo. The weather's going to be a little iffy this afternoon. It's a 5 o'clock start, which is a bit weird. 2-4-1 teams. What are you looking for in this game?
Well, I'm looking for the Buffalo Bills defensive ends, especially the left defensive end. You've got to contain Patrick Mahomes. Last week, when the Bills got destroyed by Tennessee, the biggest factor was that a defensive end was losing contain. Just over and over and over. And you've got to be disciplined enough to understand you cannot let this guy break contain on you. Thought the Raiders did a good job of it the last time they played the Chiefs. So get to the quarterback and then come under, not the reverse way. Buffalo's a better football team than they showed against Tennessee, so I think it's going to be a close game. But again, I'm going to take the Chiefs.
All right, and you mentioned also how the NFC East is just, you know, you're talking about one game now back of first for all these teams, 1-4-1 for Philly and the Giants in Washington, 1-5. Dallas at 2-3, but without their starting quarterback now, it's a new era with Andy Dalton now starting for Dak. Arizona at Dallas tonight is the typical 8 o'clock now Monday night game. Can Dallas get the win here with Dalton?
Yeah, they absolutely can, and the reason for it is because Arizona's defense is, I mean, the worst defense in the league. They've been that way for 2 years in a row. So, yeah, they absolutely can. But he's got to be smart. Like, just, you know, hey, we get it. You got Zeke Elliott back there. But do those things right here and hit the open guy. You don't have to press the issue and just let the offense work, and I think he'll be fine.
Rex, always great to catch up with you. Always great to talk to you as well. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. My pleasure, guys.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.